Yeah? Good? All right. Now, what do I do with this? Well, I am very happy to be here. And I was here, several months ago. And I was happy to be here then. Well, I'm happy to be back again. Fred called me, I guess, about a month ago and asked me to come do this. And I was actually really excited. So, anyway, before I get started this morning, if you would please pray for me and with me, and let's make sure that this is going to be a time about God first. Gracious God, this morning we come to you in worship, we come to you in thanksgiving, we come to you in awe. And I ask that this time be completely and solely about you, that it be your message, that it be your meaning, and that everybody get what it is that you want them to get out of your scripture and your word. And it's in your holy, most precious name that we do pray. Amen. This morning I'm actually going to cover three separate verses. And they're three separate verses that have to deal with grace, but they don't actually come out and tell you that they're about grace. I think that sometimes it can be inferred or it can be implied or that you can pick it up or that you can understand where it's coming from. But it never actually comes out and says the word grace to it. And then I'm actually going to follow that up with a short video. I found a video. There's a couple guys, they're called the Skit Guys, and I don't know if you've ever seen them, and you may have even seen the video before, but they're an awesome group. They go around and they do youth functions, and they're funny and they're comical, but they also have some serious meanings behind them. So, the first verse this morning is going to come out of Luke. We're going to start in chapter 19, and we're just going to talk about a little guy in chapter 19. A little guy by the name of Zacchaeus. We're going to start in verse 1. And I'm sure everybody knows the song about Zacchaeus. And it says, I don't know how Britney Spears does this. All right, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. He had gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here I am, or here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and I have cheated, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, I think it's pretty evident, and we read several times in Scripture where tax collectors are not well liked. In fact, they're pretty much hated. And the reason that these tax collectors are so well hated is because they're Jews who have been hired by the Roman government to collect taxes from the other Jews. And the Jewish society doesn't want to answer to Roman rule. They don't want to pay these stinking taxes. And that's where you get, you know, the give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. But these people don't like Zacchaeus because he's a tax collector, but he's also a Jew. But he's cheating his own people. Because they would become very wealthy because they would pocket some and they'd give what was supposed to go to Rome. And so they were actually taking their friends and their family and their other brothers and they were taxing the all get out of them. They were cheating themselves to make themselves wealthy and so that they were hated. And so here comes Jesus and you have Zacchaeus and he's a short guy and he's got a lot of power. So I'm sure that there's probably a little bit of the Napoleon syndrome going on. But he hears about Jesus coming. Now, there's been stories circulating, and I think what's important is actually if you flip to the chapter just before that, in 18, you hear the parable about the two men who prayed, one being a Pharisee and one being a tax collector. And the Pharisee said when he prayed to God, Thank you for not letting me be like this tax collector. But the tax collector said, God, please forgive me because I'm a sinner. And then you follow that up with when Jesus speaks to the rich young man, and he tells the rich young man that if you want to get to heaven, you need to put your investments in heavenly things and get rid of all of your earthly belongings. So now we have Zacchaeus, who's man, a wealthy man, and he's cheated his friends and all of his families, and he's hated. And here Jesus comes into Jericho, and everybody's excited, and there's a big crowd, and I'm sure that there were, Jesus, come stay at my house tonight. No, Jesus, come stay at my house tonight. And here you have Zacchaeus up in a tree, and Jesus walks up, and he looks at him, and he said, come on down here. I want to stay at your house. And the crowd's appalled. He's a tax collector. He's a sinner. Why are you going to go stay at his house? That's not socially acceptable, to go stay at his house. But he does. And Zacchaeus says, I've learned and I understand that I am wrong, and I don't need to do this any longer. And he goes, so I'm going to pay it all back. He said, if I owe somebody something, he says, I'm going to have to pay them back four times the amount, and I'll give half of all my possessions to the poor. And that's when Jesus replies with, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. You see, the other Jews didn't think Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham, because he cheated them. He gave up that right. He did wrong. But here we have Jesus showing just a little bit of grace, a little bit of compassion toward this tax collector and this sinner. So with that, I'm going to flip over to Romans chapter 8. And this is one of my favorite verses, and I'm sure everybody's fully aware of this verse. It's actually supposed to be 38 and 39. I'm not going to start there, though. I'm going to go up just a little bit. I'm going to start at verse 35. And it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this is one of my favorite verses. There's a reference here to Psalms 44:22. It's when he says that we, for your sake, for the sake of God, for the sake of Christ, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Then follows that up with no. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Without him we are nothing. With him we are conquerors. And then he goes through to say, well, what is it that can keep us from the love of God? And he gives a list. He talks about time, the present, and the future. He talks about earthly things. He talks about spiritual things. And then he gives in a catch-all. Now, we all know that everything was created by God. We understand that the universe was created by God, that our linear time was created by God, that our being was created by God, that all anything that has to do with spirituality created by God. And then he throws in a catch-all at the end, and he said, nor anything else in all creation. If it's created by God, then how is it possible that it can separate us from the love of God? It's not. It's a form of grace. The last verse comes from Mark. We're going to start in verse 16. Verse 16, chapter 1. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus of Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen, and he is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And I think I'm going to let the video explain how grace is here.
Like to talk to you this morning about grace and what that looks like. Grace, this means undeserved favor.
Yeah, grace is kind of God's crazy love. It's hard to wrap your mind around it.
We don't really even understand the concept of grace even when we're little kids. All right, class, I'm going to be your substitute Sunday school teacher this morning.
Hi, teacher.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Billy.
Uh-huh.
Like the goat.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, your real teacher couldn't be here, so...
She was talking to the erasers.
Yeah. Do you have anything to do with that?
Maybe!
Okay, all right. Well, class, I was looking over the curriculum. The pastor called me this morning and said if I could fill in. I didn't feel like I had a choice, so here I am.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be talking about grace this morning, okay?
Yeah, grace. I know grace.
You know what grace is?
Yeah, she's in my other class.
No, this is a different type of grace.
Yeah, I like her.
No, this is a different...
She's pretty.
Okay.
She makes me feel funny.
Okay. No. This is a different type of grace, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. It's grace. It's you know what? Grace is like well, I'll teach you grace through a song, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
It's about a man named Zacchaeus.
Zacharias.
Zacchaeus.
Zucchini.
Zacchaeus.
Zoology.
Just stick with me, buddy. Zacchaeus, okay? All right. Hang in there. Okay. Hang in there, buddy. Jesus showed grace to Zacchaeus.
Oh yeah, Jesus is nice.
He is. Okay, listen here's how the song goes, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, all right, you ready?
Okay.
Okay, all right,
okay.
Goes like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little... Zacchaeus was a wee little... Billy, what is so funny?
You said wee.
Okay, all right, okay. All right.
You said wee.
Okay, Billy. Billy, how old are you?
I am 4 years old.
Okay, I need you to be a mature 4.
Okay.
More mature. Even more. More. There you go. Hold on to that. All right. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man.
You said wee wee.
Billy.
Uh-huh.
We mean small.
I mean something else, too.
Okay. Mature 4, even more, 95 years old. There you go. All right. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree. Billy, what's the matter?
What's wrong with the tree?
There's nothing wrong with the tree.
You said it was sick.
No, it's a sycamore.
Oh, it's getting sicker by the minute.
No.
This is a horrible song for children. Mickey Mouse doesn't sing about dying trees. Why don't you like trees?
Okay, all right. Mature 4, even more, in the grave. There you go, all right. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the oak tree.
Oh, an oak tree.
Yeah, oak.
It's oak cane.
There you go, buddy. There you go. Hang on to that thought.
Yeah.
He climbed up in the oak tree for the Lord he wanted to see.
Oh, Jesus is coming.
Here he comes.
Is Jesus coming?
Jesus is coming, right?
No, he can't come. I don't have my bow tie on.
Okay, no. In the song, Jesus is coming in the song, okay?
Oh.
Okay. For the Lord he wanted to see. As the Savior passed his
way. Here comes Jesus!
Here he comes. He's going to show grace.
Yeah.
Like, here he comes.
Oh, he brought grace with him?
No, just hang on.
She knew him.
Just hang on. And as the Savior passed his way, he looked up in that tree, and he said, Zacchaeus,
you quit wee-weeing on trees because you're killing them.
And you know, we don't really get the concept of grace, this crazy type of love, even when we're in high school.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Sheldon, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, I'm getting ready to go to Bible study.
Yeah, I'll be in there in a minute.
No, listen, before you go in there, I mean, you're my youth pastor, so I should come to you about these things.
What's the matter?
The last question on the Bible study doesn't make sense.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's based on Romans 8, 38, and 39, right?
Right, yeah.
And that last question, what can separate you from the love of God?
Right.
The answer's not in there.
It is, it's one word.
No, it's not in there.
It's in there.
It's not in
it's
there.
It's really, really.
I read it, it's not in there.
I'm telling you, it's in there, Sheldon.
Okay, it's one Bible word. Man, show me.
Well, we can do that in there.
Show me.
Okay. All right. Romans 8:38 says, "For I am convinced neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
See, it doesn't say.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It's one word.
Exactly.
Yes, it says nothing.
Exactly.
That's the word.
Exactly.
No, I'm trying to tell you it's nothing.
Nothing?
Yes, it's nothing.
No, don't give me nothing. Give me something.
I'm trying to tell you that the something is nothing.
What planet are you from where something is nothing?
And here it is. Something is nothing.
Oh, that's great. So you just want me to go in there and say nothing?
Yes.
You call on me. Hey, Sheldon, what do you think? And I'll go, nothing.
Yes.
Oh, that's rich. That's great. You'll say, Sheldon, what do you think the answer is?
Yeah.
And I'll just go.
Well, if you did that, you'd be a constipated see-through PO. No, what I want you to go in there and I want you to say something.
Yes. But what is the something you want me to say?
Nothing.
I don't care if you're a man of the cloth. I want to hit you.
I'm trying to help you out here. I'm your youth minister. I'm trying to help you out here.
You want me to go in there and do nothing?
No. I want you to go in there and do something. If that something that you do is to say nothing. If you say nothing, then Sheldon, that, my friend, is really something.
You're a freak. Nothing?
Nothing, buddy.
You know, you said nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, but not for me, because you don't understand.
Nothing.
No, listen, just last night.
Nothing.
No.
No matter what you want to throw up, no matter what you want to put out there as an excuse for God not to love you, I'm telling you that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing.
And this morning, if you're having trouble grasping God's grace, don't beat yourself up, because the truth is, even the disciples didn't get it.
Jesus, I can't believe you're here. I mean, you're right here. You're alive. I mean, you were dead and now you're alive. You're really alive. I was in the boat. I wasn't catching any fish. And I kept hearing somebody on the shore say, throw your net to the other side. And I was like, thanks a lot. I'm the fisherman, you know. And you kept repeating it. So I finally threw it over there. A gaggle of fish popped into that net. And I kept going, who could do this? I look over on the shore. And there you are saying, it is I, the Lord. And there you are. You're alive. I can't believe you're alive. You're right here. Yeah.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Oh, Jesus, I love you with everything that I am. I mean, I can't believe you're alive. You're right here, yeah.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Oh, yes, I love you with everything that I am. And I'm sorry about that rooster clucking and all that kind of stuff and running away. I'm so sorry. But here you are. You're alive.
Peter.
Yes.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you with everything that I am. I love you.
Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. I didn't know that. That was a surprise to me. I didn't
Peter.
Know.
Yeah. That morning,
yeah.
That the ladies came to the upper room. You remember that?
Yeah. Mary, she was running up, and it sounded like she was saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm like allergic to bees. I'm like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. She went to the tomb, and an angel of the Lord was there. And if John says he beat me, he's lying. I beat him. I totally beat him, you know? And we get there. I'm telling you, I did. I mean, you know, stories, you know, he should write a book. He's so good at stories. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, he's so good at the words. But I'm telling you, we get there, you know, and it is empty, you know. And I remember what Mary said. I mean, Mary was right there. I mean, and she said like something like, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen.
What'd the angel say?
Said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And there you are.
What'd the angel say?
Said, go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. You said my name. After I denied you and I ran away, why did you say my name? Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's my grace. It's not about what you've done. You can't do enough, and you can't be too bad. It's not about what you've done. It's about what I just did. I say your name because I love you.
I think Peter's one of my favorite disciples. Because I think I relate to Peter better than I do the others. He's a man who got his words mixed up. He's a man who stuck his foot in his mouth quite a bit. He's a man who had more faith than anyone else for a split second and then gave it all away due to fear. He's also a man who at the moment that his Savior needed him the most, he denied him, not once, not twice, but three times. When Christ came back, the angel tells Mary, go tell the disciples and Peter. I pondered on that for a while. I said, did he say the disciples and Peter because maybe Peter was hurting the most? Because, see, the other disciples didn't necessarily denounce Jesus. They just weren't there for him. But Peter took it an extra step further. Maybe Peter needed to know that it was okay. Maybe Peter needed to know about that love a little bit more. Peter needed to be an example of grace. And I find it to be absolutely awesome to be the first name out of Christ's mouth after he's gotten back up. Amen.